Now Cody Clemens with a rocket in the house has a chance to blast this place off. Two balls, one strike on Cody Clemens. Here's the pitch. Swung on, line to right. It's a base hit. It's going to win the game. It goes all the way to the wall. Turner has scored and Clemens has won it. The Phillies strike for two in the bottom of the ninth and they sweep the Tigers 3-2 the final tonight.
Oh, where were you, Ike Reese? Where were you? The Cody Clemens game. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marks and Reese, live from Chiggy's and Pizza, South Philadelphia. John Marks and Ike Reese. What's up, Ike?
Johnny Marks, holla at your boy.
I thought it was going to be the Rollins, Jack. I thought you were playing the Rollins Gapper from 2008
well, similar,
or 2009.
Similar sounding.
Well, Scott always gets up for the calls.
He does.
Yeah, he does. But that was, hey, we'll take a sweep.
Hey, man, he set that up. Cody Clemens getting ready. What did you say? Getting ready to rocket off or something?
Blast off.
That's why he's the best. But, Ike, you asked for a sweep. You said, damn it, the Tigers are coming in town. I don't care what their record is. If their record's similar to the Phillies, beat this damn team, sweep them. Yep. Well, guess what? They swept them.
Yeah, got to give them credit for that. Only the Phillies can take you from an emotional roller coaster of watching Zach Wheeler pitch a no-hitter. Kimbrel blowing the damn game, to Cody Clemens hitting the walk-off hit to bring us in for a 3-2 victory. Awesome last night. And hopefully, man, listen, hopefully this just continues. This is the magic carpet that we needed. We needed these type of moments and wins, and let's hope this can get us through this weekend. I think this is a big weekend.
Man.
You want people to get back in, buy back in. I'm not asking you to sweep the Dodgers, but we got to win this series. Find a way to win this series.
Damn right.
Just find a way to win the series. I mean, that's where they're at right now. The hitting, quite frankly, we've been talking about the pitching. The pitching has been outstanding for a week now. Mm-hmm. Going back to Zach Wheeler's last start against the Nationals. Since then, the Phillies pitching has been pretty good.
It has been.
It's been pretty good. And albeit we know the offenses that they faced, but the pitching is giving you a chance to get your bats going late, and that's what that was the last couple of nights. A 1-0 win. How about three straight games where you take a no-hitter into the fifth inning or more?
We actually talked about it yesterday on the show, kind of tongue-in-cheek, saying Zach Wheeler going for a no-hitter. What will Fransky do tonight? Jack, I'm sure he was mentioning that.
Meanwhile, McCarthy was mentioning it last night.
They're all rebelling against our
wishes. Yes, they are.
They really are. Although I didn't see as many tweets out there about it last night. Did you?
No. Galby and Zalecki were all over it again.
Oh, okay,
I missed them. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so they screwed that up. They managed to screw that up. Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Another jinx. It would have been
a no-hitter, man.
Another one.
No, but Gelb redeemed himself because he tweeted that the Phillies were losing in the ninth just to make sure his jinx was coming to full effect, and they came back and won. So he's in the good graces.
Yeah, they found a way to get through it, but in all seriousness, this Dodgers lineup is going to be difficult to get through.
Yeah.
And not having our two best pitchers pitch in this series.
You do worry about going directly from two bad teams,
and
you're like, yeah, we won these games, now we're feeling good, and then the Dodgers come and flatten you. But like you said, 2 or 3, and I'll need style points.
No, find a way to get it done.
I don't care. Just win these games.
Yeah.
Win 2 or 3, we come in next week. We are H-A-P-P-Y, happy Jack Fritz. All right, let's do it. So, we'll talk Phillies. It's a Friday show. We're hoping to talk to Brandon Marsh, who will give us a call at some point. Early portion of the show.
It's going to be between 3 and 4.
Okay. Yeah, so between 3 and 4, looking forward to hopefully talking to Brandon Marsh as he's really had an excellent first third or quarter of the season. How long it's been. Mm-hmm. One of the questions we had in spring training was, can Brandon Marsh develop more as a hitter as opposed to being a guy that's going to hit 230 with 15 home runs? And man, has he developed. So we'll talk to him, one of the more colorful personalities on the Phillies. We'll talk to Brandon Marsh coming up, and it's a Friday, so we talk about it all. So if you have Phillies thoughts, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Jack, I mean, it also should be a new caller Friday before we get into our main topic here. Yeah, because so if you haven't heard before, new caller Friday, you know, a lot of times our show, we do a lot of phone calls, but we have regular callers that we've developed over the course of the 6 years that we've been doing the show.
I'm looking at a threesome.
And they've turned into big stars, not only on
but
the
really
station.
It's been the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It has
I mean,
been.
Who was before that that translated over?
The last 2 years, it's really been, you're right, Jack, it's taken on a life of its own.
Well, the pandemic.
Yep.
I think at some point in the pandemic, we started to
cultivate the callers who become even bigger parts of the show.
Yeah.
So I know I hear a lot from a lot of people. Oh, you need new voices. You need to give other people a chance. All right. So in addition to addition to our regular callers, we encourage new callers today. And we even give you carte blanche, 215-592-9494. Beginning of the line, Jack Fritz will put you. And we'll talk about whatever. But this in particular, all right? So James Harden, we know he's torn. Is he coming back to Philly? Is he going to go to Houston? So now Chris Paul gets released by the Suns. And one of the first things Ramona Shelburne of ESPN says is that, hey, listen, the Suns aren't releasing Chris Paul without having a backup plan or having other options. And the belief is that James Harden could be another option. So here's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I would be quite happy this season, going into this season, if I was rid of James Harden in his 3 or 4 years and I had Chris Paul on a short-term contract. Harden's a better player at this point. He's going to be able to play more. He's going to be able to play more minutes. He's going to be able to play more games. Chris Paul, I'd much rather have in big spots and big moments for the stretch run. And it's also not James Harden on multi-years. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you, Ike, because you've been saying, I believe the best option for the Sixers is to bring James Harden back, even though I'm not necessarily a huge fan of James Harden. But would you rather have a year Chris Paul, short-term Chris Paul, or 3 years at what Harden's going to make? 1 year of Paul, 3 year of Harden. What would you take?
Man, this is a tough decision. Because I don't know if 1 year of Paul does anything other than just bringing in a body for you. I don't know how much he's going to impact your winning on the court. I think there are some pluses to Chris Paul. I love his toughness. There's a mental toughness there. I think it's a little bit exaggerated, but it's better than most of the basketball players in the NBA. Certainly better than the two that we have, our two stars on this team. So he would have that sort of veteran leadership there. I think that's a positive from Chris Paul. But he has to be out there playing in order to have a true impact, or he's no more than P.J. Tucker. And he has to be playing at a high level. And because he's not P.J. Tucker, more is expected of him. He's CP3. You know, arguably one of the 5 to 10 greatest, certainly he's one of the 10 greatest point guards ever. But some can make the argument he's one of the 5 top point guards ever. They call the guy point god. I don't, but a lot of people call him the point god. And he's a defensive-minded player, but he's 38. And that's the problem. He's 38. And Chris Paul has had problems finishing the season, much like a guy that a lot of people complain about here, finishing it healthy. So I don't know if I don't know if that's going to be enough. And for 1 year, I don't know if we're going to get enough out of him for that 1 year. And here's the thing, after the 1 year, then where are we going? Nobody's going to want to re-sign Tobias Harris, so he may or may not be here. You may or may not traded him for assets, or he may have walked after free agency because you kept him here. Because if you only bring in Chris Paul, I would guess they're either going to bring Tobias Harris back or they're going to bring in some players. I think there are lesser players than Tobias Harris, especially from an offensive standpoint.
Right.
So you can bring in young wing players, 3-and-D players, this and that and the other, but Chris Paul's not playing 30 minutes a night, 60-plus games in a season,
right.
So somebody's going to have to take up that slack.
Minutes, you're right.
Yes, and scoring.
Yeah, you're right.
So the Sixers are in a tough position with that. And that brings me back to James Harden. It's the damn if you do, damn if you don't equation. And I gotta right now, I don't think Chris Paul is a better option than James Harden. I don't think he's a better option than James Harden. And man, 3 years of James Harden, I don't want to commit to, but I need a better option than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I need a better option than Chris Paul.
Well, I'll say this, and it's added to the conversation, and it's made me not ultimately think differently, but I think it's part of it. You can, I mean, just because you signed James Harden doesn't mean that he has to be here for the next 3 years. Contracts are tradable. We know with Tobias. Right now, Tobias has his most value because it's the final year of a contract. So if you trade, if you get him for 3 years, and after 1 year, Nick Nurse doesn't like him, and he doesn't want to do what Nurse wants, and it's clearly not working.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, you could probably trade him and still get something back in return to actually replace him.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons why, like you had said, this, it's funny because I was going to say the same thing, was when you said, okay, you have 1 year of Chris Paul, and then what? You're right. Then what? Like, you're not going to want him back at age 39.
No.
You're not going to be able to count on him for giving you much at age 39. No. So the then what is, at least you have James Harden here. The then what for me is, at least you don't have James Harden here, and you have flexibility to let Daryl. Like, I'm going to keep leaning on Daryl Morey through this whole thing. Daryl Morey's making $12 million a year. The obvious move is to get James Harden and to wait for James Harden and to get James Harden, right? Go make a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Go turn this team around some other way. Make a good trade. Get another signing, a free agent signing on your radar. Come up with a plan that's going to work.
And come up with guys who aren't former Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I don't need
no.
Clint Capella will be here sooner or later.
So I would actually
Eric
rather.
Gordon.
Eric
Gordon.
Yeah, Eric
Gordon. He might be a buyout candidate for the Clippers.
For sure. But I'd rather have Chris Paul because I don't have them what. And I got to figure that out. And I'm not telling you it'll eventually end up working out. This depends on Daryl Morey. It buys you some time to not have to sign James Harden. The fact that you can trade, that you would be able to trade Harden likely after this season, it makes it, if it does happen, at least I can lean on that. But then I'm rooting for, like, all right, well, when you suck, then we could just trade you next year. And I don't want to be a fan like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would definitely take 1 year of Chris Paul over 3 years of James Harden. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. All the basketball playoff action, including tonight, Ike Reese, is in Chickies and Pete's. The best in-game experience going online, chickensandpeets.com. Jack, where do you stand on this? It's 1 year of Chris Paul, 3 years of James Harden. What would you do?
I would rather have 1 year of Chris Paul, and obviously for the reasons you laid out about why it's only 1 year, that you can hopefully get a max slot open and go from there. Like, that's there. I also want to see how Embiid would react to a guy like Chris Paul. You know, I know Chris Paul's never really won anything. He's never been to a finals, right? He's only
with the Suns, yeah.
Suns won finals, right, and whatnot. But I still think he's like he has winner mentality, I think. Now, that was obviously back in his point guard days. We'll see how he is now. But I'm curious to see how Embiid would react to a guy that I think would push him. Like, I think Chris Paul would push Joel Embiid to be the best version of himself, whereas I'm not sure that James Harden does that.
No. At least not from a mental standpoint. He may get the best out of Embiid from an offensive standpoint. They work well together as a 1-2 punch in the regular season. But to your point, having that mental toughness and being able to push through the postseason, yeah, that is something it leans heavily in Chris Paul's favor. That would be the only thing I believe leans in his favor.
Right, it balances
it's his
the
leadership. Yeah,
yeah, it balances that Harden's clearly a better option over the course of the season.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about the whole off-the-court stuff. Chris Paul is the leader of the NBA Players Association. Like, Chris Paul isn't caught up in all that nonsense, and he's a true professional. So I agree from that standpoint. That, to me, is the biggest check mark in his side of the ledger. I want to have him here as a 38-year-old vet that you can bring in. My only thing is, I'm going to need Chris Paul and something.
Yeah. Yeah, I
actually. Because Chris Paul doesn't give you the production on the court that James Harden does.
Well, no, you're right. You're at least one above-average player away. And, I mean, are you trading Tobias and you're hoping to get that player and another player? I don't know if you're getting two players for Tobias that are going to be more productive.
I don't think so.
You know, like, it seems like that you'd be getting a guy that has more years left on his contract but is a better player than Tobias.
Or a young player.
Or a younger
player. You know, I don't need another Jalen McDaniels here, though.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you need somebody who can actually play.
Yeah, you need either a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Zach LaVine, that type of player to come along with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you need – because you need – something to supplement the scoring and production part. And you also need a player from my – if I'm envisioning what I want to do next year as it pertains to Embiid, I don't want him playing as many games. I don't want him playing as many minutes. I want to preserve him for the postseason. So what I need, along with Maxey, is another player that I know is going to play at least 65, 70 games, and we can win in the regular season with those young guys.
Yeah.
Like, we need somebody else that can take over some of that scoring burden and all of that during the regular season. Chris Paul's not going to be able to do that. No, you got to preserve Chris Paul for the postseason.
You need a real player that can play real minutes and score real points and win real games.
Because you got to carry him. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, do we think Maxey can do that?
You're still light.
Yeah.
You're still light. And I don't know if Tobias alone, while he can step up, is he enough? I don't think he's enough.
Because now we're looking at three players who's not going to play in the regular season. I forgot about PJ. He's not playing in the regular season either.
Again, I'm gonna now lean, and you're going to hear this a lot. I'm now leaning on Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Yo, Daryl, go out and make some good trades.
Yep.
You're supposed to be a wheeler and dealer. Go use your relationship in the NBA and get the – they need multiple players.
Yeah.
Daniel House coming in and trying to save the day. Yeah. Niang, bang, bang.
I'm out on all that. Court Miles, all that.
Come on. Yeah. Like, we got to rid ourselves of this crap that's
been here.
Come on,
man. Pop the cork.
I actually hope Shake Milton sticks around and Nick Nurse tries to use him a little bit.
No.
But why wouldn't Doc use him at all?
Because he's the worst.
He's Shake Milton.
But at least he can shoot and score.
He's just so annoying because he'll score like 30, like randomly, and then there'll be 2 months of just nothing.
And then he won't play. All right. Let's go to the phone. It's New Caller Friday, I agree. So we're going to start off with a new caller. It's Josiah from Warrington. Newer caller. Josiah from Warrington. How are you? Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
What's up, Josiah?
All right. So first things first, man, I'm signing Chris Paul with the quickest, and here's the reason why. Tyrese Maxey is our most important piece long term. Yes, Joel Embiid is our best player, but long term, Maxey is our most important piece. And I believe if you can, with the right coaching and the right players around Maxey, not James, Tyrese can make a Jalen Brunson level jump. We've seen the jump that Jalen Brunson made this year. All right, he averaged 21 last year with James Harden, dribble. Come on now, I think Tyrese can give you 25, 26. You get Chris Paul. And then I don't really care about Embiid because I see him requesting a trade next year anyway because we're not going to make the conference finals no matter what. So I think investing in Maxey long-term is our best option, in my opinion.
So what's the point of bringing in Chris Paul?
Because Chris Paul can – just like you said, Chris Paul is, number one, a professional. He can teach Maxey, you know, the game, being a professional, being a leader – which he doesn't have right now with Harden. And it was a report that came out that Doc got fired because he called Harden out for going to Vegas. You're not going to deal with that with Chris Paul. You got a professional. In my eyes, you got a professional that's going to show Maxey the game. And I love Maxey. Maxey, he's our brightest spot. I trade Tobias. And, like, listen, next year, if we can keep it B, I would trade him B now, but we can keep him. Our ceiling has been reached with this team. We're a second-round exit. That's the fact. How do we fix it? I see us trading the beat of the year anyway, get back to assets, not build around Max.
All right.
All right, Josiah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't see that as a sound plan.
What's the fascination with building around Maxey?
I think people like him, genuinely like him.
I understand that. If he's your best player –
You're looking for your best player and your second best player if he's your best player.
You're a 40
yes.
win team max?
Yep, max.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, max.
And then we're talking about how
you're not even a second round exit. You're a first round exit.
Yeah.
He's not even better than Drew was here, I don't think. Like, Drew was an all-star.
I would say it's similar.
Yeah.
They're different players.
Different types of players. Different types of players. And I don't want to bash Maxey because I like Maxey. I just don't see him as a star player. I just don't see him as a one that you build around. At best, he's a two. I believe he's really a three on a championship team. But at best, he's a two.
I thought that the
– I don't think he's a guy you build a team around saying he's going to lead you to a championship.
And by the way, he's not – and he mentioned Brunson as a comp. Because Brunson's not a guy you're building your team around.
Brunson's not a one either.
But yeah. No, he's not.
Right.
But he did make a jump this year in New York that I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought he would be the same player or probably take a step backwards just being that he was going to the Knicks and playing under Tom Thibodeau. And, no, he actually took that step. So, I mean, I think Maxey could – his game could improve – some next year, but I think there's a ceiling to how good
a
player is.
Yeah, I'm careful. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is this game going to improve to? Jalen Brunson? I'm supposed to go crazy over Jalen Brunson?
So.
Like, Jalen Brunson, he's a nice player, but he's not. He's a second tier, third tier type of player. He's not one of the star players of the league that you build a team around and win a championship and say he's the guy that's going to lead you to win a championship. I like Jalen Brunson, but let's not go overboard about guys that put up numbers on a mediocre basketball team. We've seen that. Rudy Gays. We've seen guys like that forever. Bradley Beal. Those guys are dime a dozen because somebody has to score on every team.
There's no building around Maxey. You've been starting over with Maxey as your one player that can play.
There's 10 guys in the league that are truly special guys that you can go win a championship with. And you have to hope you have one. And we do have one of those guys. I got Josiah telling me we can trade Embiid now. I wonder what plan he's looking at. What's the point of bringing in Chris Paul?
None. No, you bring in Chris Paul because you're trying to.
By the way.
You're trying to salvage.
Do you think you're selling Chris Paul on anything other than we're trying to win a championship here? What the hell is Chris Paul coming here for? To be a mentor?
Embiid.
To win a championship? Yeah. Like, Chris Paul's going to have options to go to L.A., to go to whatever team he wants to for the mid-level. Why would he come here for a rebuilding project?
He's nuts.
Yeah, come on,
215-592-9494. But listen, that's sometimes with new caller Friday, you get, you know, some outlandish takes.
I got to educate new callers, too. Sometimes we
– You do.
You know, we do everything on emotion and everything. But
exactly
I like
right.
Maxey, but he's not who you're building around.
215-592-9494. That's right. New caller Friday here on Marks and Reese. Have you bought back into the Phillies? And what would you rather see the Sixers do, Ike? Sign James Harden 3 years? Chris Paul 1 year? 215-592-9494. We're live at Chiggs and Pete's.
Have we bought back into the Phillies? It's five in a row.
Well, I want to see this weekend. But I'm feeling good. But I want to see this weekend. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. Back after this, live from Chickens and Pete's.
They don't do that unless they feel pretty good about somebody else. And I want you to keep your eye on James Harden, okay? This,
interesting.
I don't want to report anything, but that was in the wind for the past month or so of, like, you know, everybody thinks it's like Philly or Houston, but I don't know.
Harden and discussion
in the wind.
Harden and Durant are okay together?
Totally okay. Remember they flew to Europe and hung out in London last summer?
All right, well, that's Ramona Shelbourne, 710 ESPN LA. Mason and Ireland show. Breaking it down. If you're James Harden and you're James Harden's representatives, what are you trying to do right now? You're trying to find other teams that would be interested in you because it's going to help drive up your price and it's going to give you alternatives to go in case the Sixers say, no, we're not interested in 3 years. And you really don't want to go back to Houston because you don't. Think in theory, like, yeah, it'd be cool to go home, but I know I'm not going to win, and I don't want to do that. And also, I wonder for Harden, he has to have heard the Tracy McGrady's, and I think Kenny Smith yesterday to John Clark had said it. I really don't understand why he would go back to Houston.
Right.
That's a loser move, and if you go back to Houston, that's a loser move. Yep. And you hear Hall of Famers.
Yeah, it's not going to be celebrated going back to Houston.
No, you're going to be on the shows. You're going to be on the shows called a loser.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and I think that matters to him.
You hope it does.
Yeah, hope it does. So I think ultimately it will. But so now you're searching, all right, where else could you go? I mean, frankly, for me, Phoenix, I mean, I would if he could go to Phoenix, I think that's a better chance for him to win.
Oh, no, without question.
In Phoenix.
Without question.
In Phoenix.
Well, and what role does he want to play in an offense? You got to go out there and share the ball with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. You're not getting 20 shots a game.
Right.
That's not happening in Phoenix. So if you want to go be a facilitator, you know, get your shots when you can, average 15, 16 points, maybe 17. It may enhance his chances of winning the championship. I mean, that's what he should do. I mean, he's made a ton of money. And if it's about winning a title for you and finding a fit, I don't see how that's not a good fit. I don't see why it's not a good fit here. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't want to play here.
Yeah, it is a good fit.
Right? Like,
for him, sure,
yeah,
it is. Yeah.
You just led the league in assists and scored 20 points a game. Like, that wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad thing. So I don't know if you're going to get a better, I don't know if you're going to get more of an opportunity to be the guy out in Phoenix.
No.
Like, it's not like you're going there and everything's going to be focused around you now.
Nope. Durant, you'll be option three when it comes to scoring.
Yeah. And that's kind of where he's at right now. Yes. At least here, it rotates whether you're option two or number three.
Yeah,
which is beneficial for you because now you don't have the stress of having to be that guy every night.
Right. Yeah, Maxey kind of comes and goes with doing it.
Yep.
When Nick Nurse was asked about how do you sell James Harden on coming back to Philly, his reaction was exactly what you just said, which was winning. Like, what do you mean? This isn't complicated. If he goes back to Houston, it's going to be for money or because he doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. Like, this is a good spot for James Harden to come
to.
Sure,
sure it is. Definitely.
Well,
maybe he don't want to play in Philly.
You know what? I wouldn't blame him.
I mean, Phoenix is an easier flight to Vegas. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
No Rod Lakin to hold him accountable.
Right. Yeah, Howard's not going to be badgering
exactly.
Dope. Whatever else.
Although Durant may not be happy with it.
Well, they went to London together, and they frolicked to the fields and had tea last year. Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Until they're not.
Until they're not fine, exactly.
Twitter questions today, sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking for the best selection of diamond engagement rings, no Philly sales tax, safe, secure parking, visit Mark's-Jewelers. Or just check them out, Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville right there on Route 309. So 3 years of James Harden, 1 year of Chris Paul. What would you like? You can vote at Mark's Reese WIP right now, 71%, 1 year of Chris Paul.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised at that.
We could have put not James Harden there.
Right, because, Jack, that's the sub-question is it just because it's one year of anybody?
Yes, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Would you rather have 1 year of James Harden or 1 year of Chris Paul? I'd rather have 1 year of James Harden.
Right.
That's a good question.
Right.
That's a good question.
But we know that Harden's not going to sign for 1 year.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you – I mean, like, but I like the idea of you. Unfortunately, you're a player too short. If your roster was deeper to where you wouldn't have to add more, because if you don't have Harden and then you have CP3, who you really can't rely on for playing more than 60 games and
at most,
if that,
yeah,
he's got soft tissue injuries, so you're going to have hamstrings and groins and calves.
Man.
Yeah,
you don't even want him playing every game.
No, you don't. You don't.
You need him for the postseason.
All right, let's hit the phones. We're live at Chiggs and Pete's in South Philly, where all the basketball playoff action is right here at Chiggs and Pete's. Best in-game experience. Also, the best Friday happy hour. They're already happy houring here.
Oh, yeah, they are.
All right, Grace.
They are.
Let's go to Black Gritty from blackgritty.com. Black Gritty, how are you, buddy?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, got some ribs on deck lined up for the evening. Jack. Your boy Maxey's out here about to take the number one spot. I mean, and B better do something. Because I listen to way too much radio, and everybody seems like Maxey is going to be the next Superman, and ain't nobody worried about it B right now. It's shocking how much people love Maxey. Very strange, very strange.
And so he has to be the number one guy, and he doesn't actually lead to a title.
Exactly. it's so crazy. So, Johnny Mark, before I get to basketball, you asked me on the record. I think I might have been one of the only calls that told you I still believed in the Phillies. We was going to heat up, brother. How does five win looking to me now, a week
you
later?
Did.
Look like I'm from the future, brother. So I'm from the future. The
all right. So how does it – what happens this weekend there, future boy?
Hey, we doing the best we can what we got right now. You know, you put the snowball on the top of the mountain, and by the time it gets to the face, that's when the avalanche comes. But don't watch me midway down the hill. You know what I'm saying? We do what we can. Don't ask me new questions. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I was right. All right. Okay.
All right.
Now back to basketball. Ike, you can see Johnny Marks, right?
Yes.
All right, Johnny, let me ask you a question. Do you want to punch you in the face with my right hand or my left hand? Which one do you want?
Because left.
That's what the options feel like, okay? I mean, my right's strong. I'm going to lay you out with the right. But the left will hurt too, brother. You know what I'm saying? That one-year deal is still going to hurt. So, obviously, I would want CB3 just for the reason of Harden is bad for Joel Embiid. He's out here stripping and dipping and not wanting to practice and doing what he wants to do. And Joel, yeah, he's a family man crying over his kids like that, but he's also a big kid. So having a quote-unquote mentor, running mate that just wants to throw singles in the air and has got parties is not the guy I need my MVP to go to war with to get me out of the second round. Now, Chris Paul is the same thing. He's a broken-down old machine. All we ever do is the Sixers get old players no fans. Al Horford comes here. Brand comes here. I can give you a whole list of the history of the Sixers. Only getting old people. We can't never get nobody new and young. Anyway, let's be straight. Nobody wants to come here, obviously. It's weird. But CP3 would get in Joel's butt and have him have a different mindset and attitude because, you know, him. The only nice thing about Chris Paul is State Farm. Everything he does is terrible. He's just an angry, grumpy dude. But sometimes you need that kind of fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. We want Joel to have a dog and an attitude. Chris Paul would bring that to him. So, I mean, if I got to punch you in the face with my right or my left, I guess it'll be the left. I don't want to knock you out. I love you, but I'm going to let you live a little bit. But it is what it is. We're going to suffer regardless. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. I'm about to go get these ribs going. I'll talk to y'all.
All right, BG.
There he is.
Listen, I will say this. Chris Paul on a one-year deal. I do like the intangibles part of Chris Paul. I do. I just wonder how much of that he can lend if he's not productive on the court.
Yep. No, it's
– like it's almost like P.J. Tucker – I keep going back to P.J. And I'm not trying to rip P.J., but for all the optimism in signing P.J. Tucker and what he meant for the postseason – okay, we got that one game. We got that one moment where P.J. Tucker was in Joel Embiid's ear at the end of the game. It didn't get us out of the second round.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
Right? Like,
It wasn't enough for the salary he's paid. You have the regular season, and then you have the playoffs. It's just not
– And the production from him doesn't match it.
It's not enough.
You got to give me a little bit more.
It's not enough because it leaves a void, right?
Yeah.
So with
now, CP3
Paul,
is a better scorer than P.J. Tucker, obviously.
He is, but you're still short. And, it almost came out of my mouth, but then I remember the last couple of years to where you say, all right, you know you're short, but once the buyout market happens and guys get traded and then released,
right.
When have the Sixers done that the last couple of years?
I think didn't we get DeAndre Jordan in 1 year?
Yeah,
well, the big year is Bellinelli and Ilya Sova.
Right, and that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was the whole Jimmy Butler year, right?
Yeah.
That was that year.
That was five
yeah.
years ago.
And they were the finalists for Kevin Love, I guess, but he chose to go to the Heat over us.
And he didn't have anything. He doesn't really have anything left. He comes in and he plays a couple minutes. He can get you three or something.
Yeah.
But
those are the type of people you need. Like Kevin Love won't play for a couple of games, and then he's the starter out there.
And you don't get those guys because he says – I'm going to Miami.
I'm going to Miami. Yep. Yeah.
So you need to get lucky. You need a guy that wants to come here. You need a guy that says, you know what? I'm not going to get a better opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I want
to
play with these
guys. It's a good chance to win a title.
Yeah, it's a good chance to win a title. And they haven't been able to do it. So it's hard for me to sit there and say, all right, they're definitely a player short. But let Daryl Morey do his magic. All right, Daryl. I mean, seriously, the clock's on you, bro.
Yep.
Right, you're making a lot. What exactly has Daryl Morey done since he's gotten here? Like, what's his signature move? Holding Ben Simmons too long and then trading him for James Harden. I mean, give me a break.
Yep.
Right? It's got to be more than that. You just can't sit there and make the obvious move with just re-signing James Harden and waiting the market out and seeing how many years you're going to have to give him. Go out there and make a move, man. All right, new caller Friday, I agree. Coach Lamont is on the line.
Coach Lamont.
Coach Lamont, how are you, buddy?
It's been a while.
I'm all right. Commissioner Reese, how you doing, man?
What's up, Coach?
How you been, man? It's been a good time, a long time.
Yes, sir. How you been?
Now, the reason I said I chose 1 year over three, let's go back in the history. The last time we had somebody here like that, we brought Moses here. Are we going to construct this team? Are we going back to that 83 team or the 2001? 2001, you see all the different pieces we brought here with Hill, Lynn.
Right.
We go back to that 83 team, what we had here. Now, we got Maxie here. He's like, if he's going to be like a Cheeks. All right, then if we go get Paul, he'll be a point guard also. There we go. And we can put some pieces around. So with that money that they talk about distributing to Harding, you can go ahead and spread it around, get some other pieces to help. I'm not saying to rebuild, but if you're going to go on win, since we haven't won since the 83 team, in my 50 years on this planet, go for that. Take the one. Build around. If you got the leader of all players on your team, who don't want to show up and step up? If he's going to push. That was Doc here. If you're going to build around this guy, you bring this Moses in, maybe a little bit shorter, but if you got the quality, he was in the championship 2 years ago. So you got somebody with some ability.
Yeah, listen, I think it's very intriguing. I do. And the more and more we talk about it, I'm almost looking at those intangibles, and I'm saying, yeah, that's kind of what we need in the locker room. That's where I'm sort of torn. Because it's like, yeah, that's exactly what we need in the locker room. I just wish he was 3 years younger.
Yep.
I wish he was 36.
Yep.
I'd rather give him a three-year deal than to give Harden a three-year deal, if that were the case.
How old was Moses when we had him here with Doc?
Moses, Doc, I think he was – I mean, he might have been like 32, but he was also still in his prime, right? So you got an MVP season out of Moses in 1983.
And he was a big man. He played closer to the basket.
It's a much different game.
I feel like it's harder for the older guards to keep up with these young players.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's you a much different
game. Yeah, it's a perimeter game.
So Moses in 1983 was 27.
Ooh, he's even younger.
Man, well, remember, he was the first real high school player to
come out. That's right, yeah.
To
yeah,
come
he
out.
Was the first, yeah. I think he was, right?
Yeah. Yep. So 27, and, yeah, but as far as adding that last piece to that 76ers team, Doc and those teams, they had a couple different phases. They were so close to winning, they just couldn't get over the hump. They lost in the finals. They lost in the finals to the Lakers. They lost to the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Celtics in Eastern Conference Finals that were seven, like, they couldn't get over that hump. Moses got them over the hump. I don't think the Sixers are like the Moses hump to win a championship.
No, that Sixers team was – they had vets. They were seasoned. They, like you just said, they had, some of them had played in big games already, playoff games. And more importantly, they had played together, a lot of them.
Yep. Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
So bringing in Moses was kind of easier to slide him in.
Andrew Toney was there. Mo was there. Bobby Jones was there. And this was older Doc, too. So in the late 70s, Doc was more of he could carry the team. Mm-hmm. He needed somebody come in and do the heavy lifting.
Yep.
And that was Moses.
That was Moses.
And if they could add a Moses Malone-type player, an MVP to this team, we would obviously do it.
Yeah, we'd all be happy. Yeah, go right
get
ahead.
Get to work, Daryl.
At 27 years old. Let's see if we can find that guy.
How old Jokic? Is he 27? Can we add him?
Yeah, will we trade Joel for Jokic?
215.
The good old days where, like, Moses was just like, trade me. And they're like, okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll trade you here. Just give us first on draft picks and, like, money or something. All right. New Caller Friday continues, Ike Reese, with Herb in Northeast Philly. Herb, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, boys? I was on my way down.
Hold on. This is New Caller Friday, Herb. We thought you were a different
I know.
Herb.
I was on my way down, but then I got a call from one of my friends from Huntington Valley. We're going down to Atlantic City tonight at 4:30. There's some Italian singer that's playing, so they want me to take.
Oh, so you were scheduled to appear today live at Chickens and Pizza in South Philly, and you're calling us to tell us you can't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. I got the Super Bowl. I got the football. I want Ike Reese to sign.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, John Crux coming with his football, I think.
Next week. Yeah, I know. I heard about John Crux.
Yeah, stop in, John, on the way to the stadium.
Now, Herb, is it a regular? Is it a Duke? What type of a football do you have for Ike to sign?
The one I got is one of them ones they were selling when I was in Phoenix.
Oh.
A Super Bowl one?
So it has the panel on it. It has the white panel on it. Okay.
Unless I got it from the Eagles. I might have got it from the Eagles. I can't remember where I got it at.
Well, how would you have gotten it from the Eagles?
I might have got it from the Eagles, maybe, you know?
All right, that makes sense.
Now, is it the Eagles Pro Shop.
Is it a mini ball, Herb, or is it a regulation?
No, it's a way. It's not the Duke. It's not the Duke. It's the,
I feel like he's my son.
Paid maybe like 40 or 50, you know.
Okay.
So, Herb, if I was to run around in the parking lot, how far would you be able to throw the football?
I don't know. I ain't thrown a football in a while, you know.
Right. So how are you and I going to play catch?
Well, you're going to throw them to me. I get, you know.
Oh, you can run a route. I got you.
And he flips it back to me.
20 yards, that's it for me.
20 yards, oh.
20 yards, 30 yards.
I was pitching more five-yard routes. Okay, you want to go down the field.
Yeah, I'll let you throw a screen pass to me or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah.
Herb, if I could get anything, if I could have one thing for this summer, you running routes from Ike would be that it. So, let's set this up. I would love to see it happen.
Yeah.
How about next week?
This Sixers thing, I think we need to invest our money, okay? We don't need to have Harden here. We need to get a good power forward that knows how to
power
score.
Power forward?
Okay? And then bring him together with
Tim Duncan or Karl Malone. Which one?
We need that. We got about three. I believe we got three guards sitting on the bench right now.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of them that are actually pretty good, and they've been with us for a few years.
All right.
And the Brooklyn
I'm more interested in this date of yours is going down to Atlantic City with you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, it's the grandmother and then a friend. And then the daughter. The daughter.
Oh, wow.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Yep.
Listen, the daughter's pretty hot. Okay.
Yeah.
She. I did her wedding. Her when she got married, they rented my limousines and buses.
All right. I think originally when you were saying it, people were under the impression that you and a friend were going down to Atlantic City
right.
to gamble and to see a show.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is you're driving a client down to Atlantic City. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Okay. No, just
oh, I see what you're doing, devil. I see what you're doing. Yeah, I bet it is a discount rate. Yeah,
discount rate, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you got the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. You got everybody.
Like if Ike Reese called me up and said, look, I want to take my wife down for this, that, about 6 or 8 hours, how much you want to charge? So I just charge you, because I know you.
What would you charge her?
Up and back, that's all, and the tolls. Up
okay.
and back, and the tolls.
Well, I'm going to need your information because I do those things sometimes.
Yeah, well, 250, you know.
Well, I'm just saying. Now, you're not going to make this a difficult experience for me and my wife if you drive us down there. In other words, do I have to actually talk to you the whole time?
No, he's going to stay quiet.
Back?
All right, Herb. Herb,
yeah,
listen.
So anyway.
Oh, you didn't answer that.
But he would.
Yeah,
he should have to pay you after he drops you off. Herb, so we know that are you currently single? Would you consider yourself single? What is your Facebook profile say?
Of course,
say?
I'm single.
I'm just asking.
Single,
just
ready
asking.
To mingle.
So what when you're thinking of getting back into dating? Right, I know a lot of people use the apps these days. What's the oldest that you would do? Like, what would your age range be? Like if I'm obviously happily married, but I would go 40
60.
And I'd go 40 and under. You'd go up to 60.
I go 60,
70.
What's
it
the
depends,
youngest?
You know.
What's the youngest?
You know.
What's the youngest?
The youngest I 19, 20.
Oh hell no! Hell no! Hell no! Hell no! Herb. No.
I'm going to tell you, there's two girls on the NFL.
Oh, God.
There's two girls on the NFL that I like, but one of them is married. Diane Russini?
Oh, you like Russini?
Actually, she's married to an Eagles fan. Her husband is from the Philly area, so she always talks
you
about
tell
that.
Her husband, I said she's hot.
All right, well, listen, Herb, we're not going back 20 years in the radio.
Brian Baldinger, that works with Baldinger, he's got blonde hair.
Why do you
hair,
say Baldinger so, like that, man?
Do you think Baldinger is attractive to Herb?
Baldinger's a friend of mine, boy.
He is?
It's my buddy, man.
Do you find him attractive?
Next time you talk to him, and ask him about me and him lifting weights over there at LA Fitness when it was
No wonder he's retired.
He'll tell you how big I was.
Woo! That boy almost got a 10-incher.
I heard.
I used to walk around with 17-inch arms.
Oh, boy, I didn't know what you was getting ready to say, man. I didn't know what you I was about to say, Jack, get ready. That was a dump button ready to happen.
What year was this, Herb?
20 years ago when I was lifting and lifting. I worked out with a bunch of Eagles, man.
Were you taking steroids or was this all natural?
No, I didn't take no steroids. I took some different things, but no, wasn't no steroids. Creatine, I used to take creatine.
They didn't even have creatine back then.
Yes, they did.
Protein shakes or something.
You know what Power Pep is, Mike? You know what Power Pep is?
No. What is it?
You know what Power Pep is, right?
It's probably a diet thing that with caffeine in it, like Xenadrine.
Yeah. I got one now.
All right.
I got one now in my pocket. It's called Green Tea. You want to lose weight?
No, I don't want to lose weight.
It's in your pocket?
In my pocket.
All right, listen, Herb, just be careful. All right, now I'm concerned. By the way, did you make it up to New York for that deal? You had the bootlegged purses.
Reschedule. I'm going to do it soon.
Okay.
Reschedule.
All right, thank you, Herb.
All right.
215-592-9490.
L. Yeah, that was an L right there.
215-592-9490.
I was about to add to it, too. I got several things at the top of my damn brain that I want to say that I know I shouldn't say.
Honestly, if it wasn't already past our break, I would have just let them keep going. All right, coming up, back to all your phone calls
on this.
And Brandon Marsh, Philadelphia Phillies, scheduled to join us next hour. But Chris Haynes mentioned Damian Lillard and the Sixers. What did he say? We have that for you as well. We're live at Chiggy's the Pizza in South Philly, where you can watch all the basketball playoff action right here at Chiggy's the Pizza. With the best in-game experience online, chiggy'spizza.com. Back after this.
Hey, it's almost time to crown an NBA champion, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, wants you to be a part of the excitement. Because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. Now, that's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. All right, game four is tonight in Miami. Denver, still a 3.5-point favorite. The last time I looked at the line, I tell you what, for us Miami Heat fans, I don't really like this line. This tells me that Denver certainly looks like they're a heavy favorite to win this game tonight. I'm going to go with the over in total points. I think Miami plays well. I think this will be the best game so far of the series. I just don't know if Miami can pull it out. Boy, Denver team is pretty good. Take the over in points tonight, though. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner in 94WIP. That's why I really like the FanDuel app. There's no better place to bet all finals action than America's number one sportsbook. Make sure you visit FanDuel.com/Ike and get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/Ike. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.